WeChat and Alipay in the firing line as the president bans more Chinese apps. Live from London, this is the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service. I'm Vishala Sripathma in for Victoria Craig. Good morning. Several Chinese apps are a threat to US national security, according to the Trump administration. The president signed an executive order banning the use of 8 apps, including Alipay, QQ Wallet and WeChat Pay. It comes just a day after the New York Stock Exchange reversed a decision to delist China's largest telecom companies. The ban kicks in, however, after Mr. Trump has left office. Michael Norris is an analyst with Agency China in Shanghai. He says that Chinese tech aren't too concerned.
There seems to be a level of fatigue with the executive orders and the additions to the blacklist. The fatigue, I think, is most manifest in the reaction of the listed entities on the Hong Kong Stock Exchange today. Both Alibaba and Tencent shares were up, irrespective of today's news. And I think that that is illustrative in terms of how this particular executive order has fallen on deaf ears.
So there is a lot of controversy over the data privacy of these apps. And also there are links to the Chinese military that the US government has been concerned about. Has there been any response to that in China?
There is a statement by Kingsoft, which is not one of the largest companies targeted by the latest executive order, that it do not expect this order to significantly impact its business in the short term. And I think that that view is representative. One of the known unknowns is around the types of transactions that will be prohibited. So the Trump administration has given the Commerce Department a short time frame to be able to turn those restricted transactions around. And that will give us some color and context in terms of the specific types of data breaches that the administration has concerns over.
How important is the US market to these apps?
So the two largest payment apps, Alipay and WeChat Pay, process the majority of their transactions within China. The majority of their users are indeed in China. And so the US market, as part of their current transaction pie now, or as part of their future growth plans, is really negligible. The main impact will be in servicing the Chinese diaspora. If those payment apps were to go, then you may have some restaurateurs within the Chinese diaspora that might be affected, and it might make life otherwise inconvenient for both international students and recent migrants that live and reside in the United States.
So it's got more symbolic significance than it does in terms of business and economic impact.
Indeed, it is less economically significant than executive orders which target SMIC, the chip maker, or oil giant CNOOC. It's far less significant than those executive orders. And I do think that there is a general misunderstanding on the part of the administration about some of these apps. I did notice the QQ Pay was listed separately as an entity, but it is only available through the QQ app itself. It can't be downloaded by itself. So there seems to be a lack of appreciation over what some of these apps actually are on behalf of the folks who are making this executive order.
Michael Norris, analyst at Agency China in Shanghai. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Let's take a look at the markets. The US 10-year Treasury yields hit 1% for the first time in more than 9 months as investors bet that Democrats are poised to capture the Senate. Also, oil prices are up after Saudi Arabia pledges a voluntary output cut. That's lifted markets here in Europe as well. As the world continues to grapple with the coronavirus and travel remains restricted, the global tourism industry is piling up losses. Airlines are reporting up to 60% less flights, and several large travel operators are continuing to cancel holiday packages. But entrepreneurs are finding alternative ways to travel the world, as the BBC's Arunde Mukherjee reports now from Delhi.
A boatman sings a traditional song as he rows on the river Ganges in the ancient city of Varanasi in northern India. He's part of a guided tour for tourists who want to explore this temple town. The only difference is travelers are seeing and hearing him through their laptops and phones instead of being there in person. In times of COVID-19, India's ailing travel industry is trying to retune itself. Rubaru, a small startup, used to conduct physical walks through some of India's most picturesque sites. But when COVID-19 hit, it went virtual, allowing people to visit the Taj Mahal or see the Himalayas through pre-recorded videos and a live narration. One of the founders of Rubaroo, Ayush, says it's not business as usual, but it's certainly an encouraging start.
For someone to take our services, they had to be at a particular place at a particular time, and that was a limiting factor.
This is the dome of the ambassador's home.
Indian travel company Tour HQ has gone a step further, connecting online travelers on Zoom to more than 30,000 guides in tourist sites all over the world.
One of the seven wonders of ancient world.
Khalid Zaki, a tour guide in Egypt, has just finished a virtual tour of the pyramids. This new business model has been a lifesaver for him.
It's great to have this opportunity to do those tours to get revenue, which is going to help me financing my life. But it's also a great idea, which we can use it in the future.
These online tour companies say they are getting requests not just for recreational travel, but also from schools for educational tours, for trips down memory lane for families who want to revisit their hometowns or even relive their childhood, and even from the corporate sector for online team building activities. All of this is helping support jobs in the sector, says Gaurav Kumar, CEO and founder of Tour HQ.
We've actually been hiring in the last few weeks because of this. We've had to take on new people.
In an industry where close to 200 million jobs are under threat from the pandemic, virtual travel has been a lifeline for tour operators and guides. For travelers, it has also offered a welcome respite and a new way of seeing the world. I'm the BBC's Arunoday Mukherjee for Marketplace.
And if you need help with directions, a tech firm has brought out GPS laces. You just tie them up and they lead you home. Might be a good one to keep tabs on the kids with. In London, I'm Vishala Sripathna with the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service.
With access to so much information, it's hard to feel like an informed, discerning citizen. That's why on Make Me Smart, which is a podcast from Marketplace, we make it easy for you to stay in the know. Hi, I'm Kai Rizdahl. Every weekday, Kimberly Adams and I unpack the latest from Washington, D.C.
The Senate minority leader has announced that he will step down as the Republican leader.
What's happening in AI? I mean, don't buy at the top, but holy cow, artificial intelligence and all the companies related to it are the hot new thing. And we do the numbers.
So as a refresher, inflation is the rate of increase in the prices of things. It's not just sort of things getting more expensive. It's the speed at which things get more expensive.
Because in a world that's constantly changing, we all need to stay smart. Listen to Make Me Smart wherever you get your podcasts.